There was even a TV special about his life. Jane knew it was murder. She did not know what to do about it. There was no one in the GEC she could trust. No one she was certain was not in league with Gaetano. Not even Vasily Malik. Yet she was determined to avenge her old friend's death. The burning acid of vengeance was a new emotion to Jane. Even when her husband had died and she had blamed Dan for it, she had not felt this flaming, hot hatred that now seared every nerve in her body. It was weeks later, at a conference with Yamagata Industries' chief executives in Tokyo, that she saw a way. She knew Nobuhiko Yamagata only slightly. Through her staff secretary, she invited the young man to an informal lunch. Through his staff secretary, he accepted. Jane suggested her hotel. Nobo's representative came back with a suggestion that they meet at the Yamagata building, where they could dine in privacy and get to know each other better. Jane, who had hoped for precisely that, readily agreed. They met in a small, luxurious dining room done in deep, rich woods and decorated with exquisitely delicate silk paintings. Jane was relieved to see that Nobuhiko had provided a Western-style table and chairs, although the kimono-clad women waiting on them brought bamboo trays of sashimi and sake in thimble-sized cups. After expressing renewed regret at his father's demise, and being politely reminded that his father was cryonically sleeping rather than truly dead, Jane turned their conversation toward business. It must be an immense challenge to take over the entire Yamagata complex at a time of such enormous changes. His lean face utterly serious, Nobo replied, "Yes, there are many problems, many challenges, but I think the work is going well, don't you?"
"Extraordinarily well," Jane said.
"We have had some difficulties with your GEC administrators," Nobo said, surprisingly blunt for a Japanese. "They seem more interested in paperwork than in performance." Jane smiled, wondering if the "we" Nobuhiko used was meant to be royal.
"If there is any way I can help,"
he smiled back, "I think we are educating them sufficiently." When he smiled, his eyes lighted up like a boy's, Jane noticed.
"Have you had any problems," she asked slowly, "with the criminal element?"
"Criminal element?"
"What is the Japanese version of the mafia called, the Yakuza?"
Nobo shook his head, frowning slightly.
"Not the same thing at all. And no, we have had no trouble from organized crime. None that I have been made aware of, at least."
Jane took a sip of sake. Then,
"This immense program of ours, this movement to convert the world away from fossil fuels, it's like a big, fat, tethered cow to the criminals. They will try to milk it as hard as they can. Perhaps in the United States that is true. Even in Europe. Not in Japan.
Not in your space facilities?" He smiled again.
"What can they steal in space? Or even on the moon?"
"There are criminals on the moon. Fugitives from justice."
"Ah, you are speaking of Dan Randolph."
Inwardly, Jane flared with anger. This was not the course she had wanted this conversation to take. Nobuhiko took her silence for agreement.
"I wish I could have helped Dan. I was angry with him over something that does not seem so important now. I suppose I was upset at the time. My father had just been put away."
"I see.
Isn't there some way Dan can be pardoned? He should be back in charge of Astro, if you want to get the best out of that corporation. In fact, if you put him in charge of all space operations, you would be getting far more than is now possible."
"In charge of all of them? Including Yamagata?" Looking slightly sheepish, Nobo said,
"Dan is the best manager in the business. He should be in charge of all the space operations, including Yamagata's. Then you would see results."
"He wouldn't work for the GEC?"
"He advised us to," Nobo pointed out. "He pleaded with us to cooperate with you, so that we wouldn't have to take over your corporations as we did Astro. So that we can make this tremendous conversion in energy and transport within 10 years, Nobuhiko countered firmly.
Jane sighed.
"Well, maybe it would have been good to put Dan in charge. But he's a fugitive now, a criminal. We don't even know if he's dead or alive."
Shaking his head, Nobo said,
a great loss, a great tragedy. On impulse, Jane blurted, "The Mafia murdered a friend of mine, a man who was just starting to investigate how deeply they've wormed into the GEC.
Nobo's eyes narrowed.
"Are you serious?"
"Yes, completely serious. I've come here to ask for your help."
"What can I do?"
"That's just it. I don't know yet. But I need an ally, someone with your strength and your resources. Can I rely on you? Will you help me?"
The young man was silent for several moments. Then he answered,
"I would be honored to help you in any way I can. But frankly, it would be much wiser to find Dan Randolph, pardon him, and set him onto this problem. If anyone in the Earth-Moon system could tangle with the Mafia successfully, it would be Dan."
Once they led Dan away to a detention cell, Kate felt as if the room needed fumigating. But as she stood behind the broad, gleaming desk, staring at the closed door to the outer office, she began to realize that maybe it was she who needed cleansing.
"I ruined his life," she said to herself. "I drove him to this."
But then she shook her head viciously. "He didn't have to deal drugs. There's no excuse for that. He deserves whatever he gets." She looked around the office with new eyes.
"My office. It's mine now. And Kim's on her way here. She'll be arriving in a few hours. I've got Astro and I've got Kim. Now all I have to do is get Rafe off my back and I can start to really live."
A few hours later, Kate stood eagerly at the reception area under the pads where the spacecraft landed. She had watched on the video monitor as Kim's ship settled down gently on its pad and the access tunnel snaked out and connected to its airlock. Now the first passengers were coming through the tunnel. And there was Kim, thinner than Kate had expected, pale and thin, like someone who had been sick for a long time. But her flaming hair, cropped so short, was thick and luxuriant, her stride confident even in the unaccustomed low lunar gravity, her face beaming with a wide smile. She was not smiling at Kate. She was not even looking at Kate. She was smiling at the tall, darkly handsome man walking beside her. Raffaello Gaetano.
26. It took all her strength to keep from screaming. Kate sat in the posh dining room of the new Yamagata Hotel, where the giant video windows presented scenes of Hawaiian beaches in the setting sun, and watched Gaetano charm Kimberly out of her pants, almost literally.
"I have never seen anyone, man or woman, adapt to the gravity here as easily as you have."
Rafe was smiling at her, strong white teeth like a shark's, Kate thought. Kimberly, her eyes still slightly shadowed, her cheeks sunken, smiled back glowingly.
"A friend of mine warned me about the gravity. She loaned me her weighted boots, see?"
And Kim held up one miniskirted leg to show the stylish lunar soft boot she was wearing. To Kate, her sister's leg looked bony, knobby. But Gaetano said,
"You mustn't put temptation so close, little one. A man's first instinct is to stroke a beautiful lady's leg."
Kim giggled. Kate fumed. Halfway through their main course, Kim suddenly excused herself. Kate watched her hurrying to the ladies' room, wondering if some lingering effect of her addiction were still in her blood. Was she perspiring? Or were her hands shaking?
"A lovely young sister," Gaetano murmured across the elegant table.
"Keep your hands off her," Kate hissed.
"Jealous?"
"She's my sister, for God's sake. I don't want her getting involved with the likes of you. She's had enough problems in her life."
Gaetano's smile turned nasty.
"Yes, I know all about it. Kimberly Williams," he recited. "Parents divorced when she was 10, while her older sister Catherine went to law school. Kimberly stayed with her mother in San Jose and became involved in the drug culture at the public school. By the time she was 15, she was heavily addicted to narcotics. Arrested for prostitution and—"
"Stop it!" Kate snapped.
Gaetano shrugged as if it did not matter to him one way or the other. He reached for his wine glass.
"What made you come up here?"
Kate asked in an urgent whisper.
"On the same ship as Kim," she added silently.
Gaetano sipped at